This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina-born jazz musician Max Roach carved out a creative legacy that spanned genres and generations. The drummer and composer actually grew up in New York City, and during the 1940s, he performed alongside all the greats, including Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, and Abbie Lincoln. His recordings were innovative and even political. To honor Max Roach, Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center is hosting a restaging of his 1960 recording, We Insist, Freedom Now Suite. The Fresh Cut Orchestra is going to perform. Jeff Arnall is the executive director of Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center. He spearheaded the tribute and joins us now. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
I know that you're a percussionist yourself, so you have a fascination with Max Roach that started early on. Tell us about that and what you know about Max Roach.
Wow, that's a good question. I learned about Max Roach from a teacher. I grew up outside of Atlanta, and when I was studying drums and percussion, started getting into jazz drumming. He wrote down two names. The first was Max Roach. The second was Tony Williams. And that was, I want to say, in 85 and or something like that, and has been part of my life in so many different ways since then. And I really admire his musicianship, his the way that he kind of looked at the world, his political stance on the world, and also his innovation and constant search and kind of ability to have an open mind about exactly what you just said, genre, style, and all the different kind of ins and outs of the music business.
Really fascinating figures. We said he was born in North Carolina, but left at about age four, right? The family goes to New York City. And he ends up studying classical percussion, right? So tell us a little bit more about his career and how it gets started and where it goes.
Yeah, what's great to know is that we can actually listen to Max talk about his own life, because online or, you know, just it's available that we could hear a lot of these kinds of recordings of Max talking about this. But from my understanding is that, you know, he came up, he had music in the church that he went to in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. He had played in a marching band, and a lot of those skills and that kind of exposure would then help him forge ahead into what was going on at the time, which would have been in the 30s and into the 40s, you know, large big band kind of music. And so he started playing music. He could read music. He composed music. And he found himself with other playing partners that you mentioned, Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, and Charles Mingus. I think we'll talk about him later, but he was part of this whole revolution and kind of revolutionized and was someone who really took on percussion in a new way within this kind of small group format.
And the changes, things are really moving quickly in the 1950s with regard to jazz. It is becoming, there is still the party music, big band music that everybody can get up and dance to. And then things are moving on, and many artists, Max Roach among them, is hearing a different form of jazz with multiple rhythms, maybe a little harder to dance to, not necessarily the party music of the big band era. So talk about bebop and his influence, but also kind of what it was and what was happening in the 50s with that form as it begins to diverge from the earlier form of jazz.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of it comes down to, and again, if you go back to his interviews, he would say practice, practice, practice. And it was about virtuosity and about, you know, these fast tempos and a way that these kind of melodic lines that were really complex and complex harmonies. And so it really kind of took on, instead of having, say, something that you could, these kind of larger format groups, something that was more complex with the soloists and interaction of the players. And then you could even take that to what Max was doing on the drum set or other drummers at the time, like Kenny Clarke, Joe Jones, Papa Joe Jones, where they were using each of their limbs and this kind of independence and these polyrhythms. I think you mentioned, you know, the advances in kind of how rhythms connect to each other in the group setting and even on the drum set.
No, let's hear a clip from the 1950s song Salt Peanuts. This features Max Roach on the drums, recorded at Massey Hall in Toronto.
Salt peanuts.
The name of the song is Salt Peanuts. Vocal innovation, not necessarily chief among the great innovations of bebop, but of course it is in the way that plays a role in Salt Peanuts. Dizzy Gillespie on trumpet and vocals, Charlie Parker on the alto sax, Bud Pyle on piano, Charles Mingus on bass, and Max Roach on drums. I'm talking to Jeff Arnall, who is executive director of Black Mountain College Museum and Art Center, and he spearheaded a tribute to Max Roach that takes place this Friday and Saturday at the Art Center. What were they saying about this? And what was Max Roach's role? Because it was a movement. It wasn't just him. He didn't lead this movement, but he was certainly an important part in propelling it. What were those artists saying about this break?
I think all along, and I think this is something that I really appreciated about, admire and about Max and all of these colleagues, and as he goes on through his life, is that looking to experiment and looking for new ways and new ways of constructing music and being adventurous with it. And so something that they were saying at the time is, there was resistance. It's just kind of like what we heard. So like when you fast forward to the 60s, free jazz comes around or John Coltrane, people were not hearing that in their ears. It took them 20 years to catch up to that, and they're maybe still trying to catch up to it. You get, keep going and keep going, and it's whatever is the flavor of the day. But somehow, at this time, or in the 40s and 50s, this group of friends and collaborators were really pushing the envelope and really trying new things and exploring and having just a great time, and you could really hear it. It's just like the sparks are flying.
They were pushing the envelope. They were also pushing the critics, and they were pushing the market. I mean, talk about the rebellion in the 1960 over the 1960 Newport Jazz Festival, where they really wanted to put a fine point on the fact that this was a new form of jazz, and festivals like the Newport Jazz Festival simply weren't worth it.
And I mean, that brings up a good point. I mean, I think that you're talking about is one of his, Max Roach's colleagues was Charles Mingus, and they founded this record label. So the recording that you just played, Jazz at Massey Hall, is from a label that Max Roach and Charles Mingus started in 1952 called Debut Records.
And how unusual was that? I mean, for musicians to actually own their own label. I don't know, maybe it was very common back then, but it feels unusual to me.
I think there's always been independent record labels, but having a profile like these musicians and having their place, say, on the bandstand, I think it was unusual. But again, if we look to everyone who kind of looks back and takes inspiration from them, we have so many great movements in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and into now, where we see these kind of independent DIY labels.
How assertive was Max Roach again in insisting that, because this was also a period in which, sort of the artiste and the authentic musicians, there were lots of fights in jazz right around then about what is really jazz and what isn't. How aggressive and assertive was Max Roach at insisting that people pay more attention to this, that this avant-garde at the time, was something that people need to pay more attention to, and they need not be stuck in their ways the way they might be?
Well, I think that his actions spoke louder, or as loud as his words, because what he ended up doing was, and again, I think really good to note, is that he continued to find playing partners and collaborators through his entire life that was pushing the envelope. So when you get into into the 50s, you know, he's still experimenting with everyone who will kind of push the envelope with him or kind of go in that way. But then in the 60s, something like with the Freedom Now suite is really expanding the kind of structure of what is on a record and how it connects to politics of the time. And then in the 70s, duo with Cecil Taylor, which is someone who we wouldn't associate with straight ahead jazz. So someone, he has a duo with a few records with Cecil Taylor and concerts, and then also Anthony Braxton, which is also now even considered one of, if you look at his music, it's very connected to maybe what they were doing in the 40s. He's pushing the envelope.
Yeah, and talk about a step along the way. We go from bop to hard bop. What is that, and what's Max Roach's role in that?
Well, hard bop, my understanding of it is it's an extension of bebop, and it's kind of pulling from other influences in music, say the blues or, other places in the world. So it really is connected in a lot of the same players. And I think that this is also something that I'm not a jazz historian, or I'm an artist, but also an arts administrator. But I would say that all of these kind of movements, they're fluid, right? And they were, playing bebop, went into hard bop. Somebody else called it hard bop. And when you get into, the kind of more free jazz in the 60s, which, Freedom Now kind of sets the stage, or even modal jazz or something like that, those titles and kind of are is more of historians looking back.
Right, right. Because as you say, it's fluid, and the idea that you're going to, sort of put a label on it, again, that's when the fight starts. But the point is that the music is always moving, and artists like Max Roach are entertaining new ways, new artists, new collaborations, ways to get the music out there that may be not the way we did it last year. I'm going to play a clip now from Brilliant Corners, released by Thelonious Monk, fellow North Carolinian. This one came out in 1957. Give the drummer some. Brilliant Corners, released by Thelonious Monk in 1957. That was Max Roach on drums. I'm talking to Jeff Arnall, who is the executive director of the Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center, who spearheaded a tribute to Max Roach. It's going to take place this Friday and Saturday at Black Mountain College. So let's talk about the politics, too, in this 1960 recording, We Insist. What do you know about that?
I think it's a fascinating piece of music, a fascinating moment in time. I think that a lot of what they were exploring and hoping to get at and did get to is relevant today. And I think that it's urgent today, just as it was urgent in 1960. I think a lot of it is about issues of freedom and hope. That's what I get from it. And the music itself is also... I think I mentioned is complex. I think a lot of the tracks are in 5/4. So if we're talking just kind of the mechanics of music, a lot of music is in 4/4, and a lot of this record, he was exploring kind of these multiple meters, and also kind of in part of the record, he was also exploring kind of this modal kind of jazz and kind of free form or larger like parts of of improvisation. And that's also really, really, really fresh. And the lyrics, Oscar Brown Jr. was the lyricist, collaborator with Max in creating the Freedom Now suite. And the original recording is Max's wife at the time, Abby Lincoln. And it's just so powerful and unbelievable.
Let's hear a little bit from Freedom Day from that 1960 recording, We Insist. A bit of Freedom Day from Max Roach's 1960 recording, We Insist. I'm talking to Jeff Arnall, Executive Director of Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center, going to host a restaging of the album this Friday and Saturday. That was commissioned to commemorate the an anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, I understand. And you want to talk about this effort and your decision to restage a performance. Which performance and why? What about? Tell us more about this tribute.
Yeah, and so as we were discussing, fan of Max Roach's music, knew this record quite well for a long time, and you know have the great privilege of being part of this organization, the Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center, and it's. If you don't know about Black Mountain College, look it up. It's an unbelievable place that in time between 1933 and 1957 here in Western North Carolina, where there was a real collection of personalities that was really unmatched. And so that spirit of, you know, progressive interdisciplinary education and explore, you know, contemporary art, dance, music, theater, all of these different things and important parts of arts and culture in our world, what we do at the museum is try to figure out how to look back at all of that history and the weight of this incredible place, but then also what, how do we connect with contemporary culture and what is going on now? And so I was driving into New York City, returning some art from an exhibition that we had up and heard on the radio, a performance. It was Max Roach's birthday. It was January 10th, and this was last year. And I heard it, and I was like thinking, "Well, we have a Politics of Black Mountain College show coming up," and I was like, "We should restage this." And I started thinking about the Fresh Cut Orchestra, which I knew their work from living in Philadelphia, and now part of the group is in New York City, and I could just hear kind of the Fresh Cut doing this because they're a really great young orchestra, really forward-thinking musicians, and the way that they arrange and solo and collaborate on pieces, it sounded like a real good fit. And so I talked to the bassist, Jason Fraticelli, about the piece, and he knew it, but you know, he said, "I'll take a listen." And he and the other members of the group, which is, it's cool, it's the three co-leaders, Josh Lawrence and Anwar Marshall, drummer, they went back and listened to the We Insist, and they called me up and they said, you know, we could see why you think that Fresh Cut could pull this off, because it's amazing and the orchestration sounds perfect. And so that's that.
Well, we will leave you with the music of the Fresh Cut Orchestra as we leave this segment with Jeff Arnall. He's Executive Director of Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center. Center's hosting a tribute to the performance of drummer and composer Max Roach this Friday and Saturday. We've got all that at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, we'll talk about a new pop art exhibit in the Nasher Museum in Durham. Stay tuned.